This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why, like you, he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you had questions before about the Karen Reed trial, you're going to have even more after listening to this. And the latest development in the Karen Reed murder trial, Massachusetts State Police Sergeant Buhenik Budacek took to the stand to present some crucial evidence to the jury. Reed, of course, who is 44, from Mansfield, charged with second-degree murder in the death of her boyfriend, John O'Keefe. He's pled not guilty to all of the charges. Sergeant Buhenik, who supervised the investigation, brought O'Keefe's shirt, belt, and other clothing items to the jury to show the jury in the trial. He also worked alongside Trooper Michael Proctor and testified about their initial interview with Reed at her parents' home right after the incident took place. Here's that audio.
Leading up to Mr. O'Keefe being discovered, she stated that she was in a relationship with Mr. O'Keefe that morning, meaning the 28th of January. She got into a fight with Mr. O'Keefe over what the niece and nephew were being fed for breakfast, or what they had for breakfast. She went on to say that she met Mr. O'Keefe at C.F. McCarthy's approximately 9 p.m. the night of the 28th of January, 2022. She stated that the gentlemen were drinking, consuming beers, Bud Lights, and she was drinking vodka soda. Prior to moving on to the bar at Waterfall, the defendant was asked where she parked her vehicle. She told me that she parked her vehicle on Washington Street across the street from C.F. McCarthy's, facing northbound. So the vehicle was on the side of Waterfall Bar and Grill. We went on through the conversation, the interview, to the Waterfall restaurant, at which point she was asked if she left C.F. McCarthy's with a beverage or a container from that establishment, to which point she stated that she did not. She also confirmed that Mr. O'Keefe did not have any injuries on him when she interacted with him at C.F. McCarthy's or the Waterfall. He did not get into any verbal or physical altercations with anyone to have sustained those injuries. She stated that once at the Waterfall, they stayed for approximately an hour, hanging out with acquaintances. And then they left the Waterfall. She drove them to, after they were invited to a residence, she drove them to location in Canton where she dropped Mr. O'Keefe off. She was asked if she saw Mr. O'Keefe walk into the home at 34 Fairview, and she stated she did not. She stated that she made a three-point turn after dropping him off and left.
I think she remembers a whole lot of even being there. I'm surprised she remembers a three-point turn, if she truly does.
Well, and we're going to get to this at some point during this discussion, but she had a lot to drink. Holy cats.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at that. The jury viewed video footage showing Reed and her father arriving at the Dighton home and inspecting the rear of Reed's Lexus, which had damage to the right rear taillight. Bohenek explained that the damage occurred when Reed backed out of O'Keefe's driveway, inadvertently bumping into his vehicle. The video provided the jury with the defense's explanation of how the taillight was damaged. The prosecution highlighted Reed's activities before the incident, showing a video from a Canton bar where Reed had six drinks before heading to another bar. It's like doing Wisconsin-level shit there, out there in Canton.
No kidding. And from what I understand, and I could be wrong about this, so forgive me if I am wrong.
Yeah.
But Karen Reed is a petite woman, is she not?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm a petite woman, and I don't drink a whole lot. And granted, she could probably drink me under the table in about 5 minutes. But when you're small in stature, one or two drinks can put you at a level of intoxication that you're not used to. And I don't know what her drinking history is, but six drinks?
And then let's go to the next bar. The footage aimed to establish her high level of intoxication. ADA Lally further detailed Reed's actions throughout the night, showing her backing out of O'Keefe's driveway at around 5 a.m. on January 29th. In a more somber part of the proceedings, the jury saw autopsy photos of O'Keefe, which caused his mother to leave the courtroom briefly. The sergeant described O'Keefe's injuries, noting the linear abrasions on his right arm and other trauma. Despite objections from the defense, the descriptions were admitted into evidence. Let's take a look or take a listen to some of that testimony here. This is Sergeant Buenick describing O'Keefe's injuries. Let's take a look.
Now, in addition to the injuries that you observed to Mr. O'Keefe's face, what, if any, injuries did you observe to his extremities?
His extremities produced abrasions to his upper forearm and lower bicep area on his right arm.
And just as you use that term, I'm not asking for any sort of medical definition, but as far as you use that term, abrasions, what do you understand that term to?
I understand that term to be a injury sustained through blunt force trauma or friction to the epidermis of the skin where a crushing of the vascular system occurs and produces that type of sign on the skin.
And from your observation of the injuries to Mr. O'Keefe's arm, which arm was this again?
It was his right arm.
And as far as your observation of those injuries to his right arm, what, if any, as far as the consistency of those injuries, what, if anything, did you note or observe in reference to those?
Consistency with what? With the...
Let me rephrase this.
Yes.
How were the abrasions that you're describing positioned in relation to each other?
Each abrasion appeared to me to be linear and concentrated in a specific location on the arm. It didn't go any further north of a point and did not go any further south of a point. So it was concentrated in the elbow, a few inches below the elbow, a few inches above the elbow on the right arm.
So what does that sound like to you, getting an injury like that?
To me, I used to try to skateboard, and I say try. Mm-hmm. And when I've, kind of gone and face planted and skidded a little bit, I've ended up with some scrapes from mm-hmm. rocks and things, and they look like claw marks where, yeah. you know, they're linear abrasions. And that, to me, that's what I thought I was hearing when he described that. Like, these were scrapes that were linear, like a claw mark. So yeah. could it have been a dog? Could it have been a bear? Could he have been dragged behind a car?
That's
what it sounded like to me.
I'm wondering if he was drugged behind the car.
Could have been a bear. They haven't come up with the bear defense
well,
yet.
Well, if you look at the, I'm not ruling out animals here at all, honestly. But honestly, I think he was drugged by the car. That seems to me what this sounds like. It's like linear abrasion. You got an elbow out, you're on the ground, you're being drugged. And she's blitzed out of her mind drunk, and she has no idea that she's dragging a body with her after her 3-point turn. Yeah. And then he gets up from it, falls back on the ground, hits his head. I mean, I don't know. It seems a lot more plausible than many other things. Forensic scientist Ash, go ahead.
Don't forget, too, you know, as we talk about, she has no idea she's dragging a body, and people are like, how would you not know? Well, it's snowing. Your car feels different when you're going over snow.
Well,
it feels like you're going over lots of things.
Everyone's going to hit you at that one because they're going to say there wasn't much snow on the ground at the time he would have been hit.
Damn it. I keep forgetting that detail.
But she had God knows how many drinks in her system. So again, you may not be that bright to details while that is happening, while you have at least six yeah. drinks and you went to another bar. So I'm sure you probably had 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 in you by the time that you were dropping him off and making your 3-point turn. Forensic scientists Ashley Valier and Christina Hanley provided insights into the evidence handling and the analysis. Let's take a listen to that.
From item 7-18.18 was found to be consistent in color and instrumental properties with the examined portion of the clear plastic from the taillight. The examined portions of the red plastic from item 7-18.18 was found to be consistent in color, microscopic appearance, instrumental properties with the examined portions of the red plastic from the taillight, item 3-1. So accordingly, the red plastic from 7-18.18 could have originated from the red plastic from item 3-1, the taillight, or from another source with the same characteristics.
Hansley testified about the broken cocktail glass that was found on Reed's bumper, confirming that parts of it matched the glass at the scene. Here's the other fun part about this. Other glass on the back of the bumper doesn't match the glass, does not match the cocktail glass at all.
That's a problem.
That's a bit of a problem. And it's also, to me, I don't know, a bit of a problem that we're talking about. There's glass on a bumper. There's a single hair on a bumper after a vehicle was driven 30 miles and then towed 30 miles for a total of 60 miles in a blizzard, that there's just yeah. a stray hair back there and that there's some broken glass that doesn't necessarily match the cocktail glass. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but it's just something that doesn't add up.
Like?
What?
A shadow of a doubt.
That's exactly what it is. And they're painting that picture pretty damn well. Are they painting it to the point where I believe that there's a conspiracy? Not necessarily, but it does make me start to wonder a bit about, did they know that Karen hit him and they, in their infinite dumbass wisdom, thought, well, let's make it a little easier for people to see that this actually happened. And then in turn, that looks like they did it. And they didn't. But because they want to try and kind of pad it a little bit more this way, let the evidence speak for itself. Adding shit or changing shit, or, I mean, if they did that, that's not going to help your case if, in fact, she did hit him. Again, I don't think anyone beat him up and left him out in the cold. I don't think she maliciously hit him trying to kill him. I don't think anybody knows what the fuck happened. I think everyone is trying to cover their ass at the end of this thing. And people are making a lot of rash, dumb decisions thinking that, oh, this will work. Valier explained the structural match of the taillight pieces, showing a partial reconstruction of the broken taillight from different pieces in cross-examination. The defense questioned the chain of custody and integrity of the evidence, while attorney Unetti probing the timeline and handling of O'Keefe's clothing and other critical pieces of evidence. Let's take a listen.
Consisted of several pieces of red apparent plastic and one piece of clear apparent plastic that measured an eighth of an inch by a sixteenth of an inch. Is that accurate?
Okay, so there were several pieces of red apparent plastic and then one piece of clear apparent plastic measuring approximately one eighth of an inch by one sixteenth of an inch. Yes.
Okay. And I apologize for continually reminding you, but I'm just mindful that everybody needs to hear you. So to the best you can, if you can just keep your voice up, I'll try to do the same. So when those several pieces of apparent red plastic and one piece of apparent clear plastic came into your possession, those pieces were obviously not embedded in either shirt when you examined them, correct?
I don't know. I didn't examine the shirt.
Well, so to my question, the pieces that you saw were not embedded in a shirt when you examined them, correct?
Correct.
And again, that's because you never took possession of any shirt in this case, correct?
Correct.
The pieces were loose and they were not embedded in anything, correct?
The pieces were, well, I examined the debris from the shirt. I don't know what the person who packaged it did to collect that.
Okay. And so it goes without saying that you never saw those pieces on either the orange shirt or the gray long sleeve shirt, correct?
I did not.
And you obviously had no control over how the evidence was handled before it came into your possession, correct?
We have a chain of custody in the laboratory, but I did not follow the evidence as it went through the chain.
Okay. And we'll talk about the chain of custody in a minute. Before this evidence came into your possession, you did not witness who seized it, correct?
Correct.
You did not witness who handled it, correct?
Correct.
Before it came into your possession, you don't know who had access to that evidence, correct?
So all of our evidence is stored in locked facilities?
Right. But I guess let me modify that question. Before it came to your lab, you don't know who had access to that evidence, correct?
Correct.
You also don't know, before it came to your lab, whether the shirts in question were at all times kept separate from the red or clear plastic pieces of, pieces of plastic that were in the possession of certain members of the state police, correct?
Correct.
So I'm trying to show a chain of custody issue here, and I don't really think there is one. I think that was a lot of smoke and mirrors, quite honestly, for the jury. Most people won't know these sort of things, and you're not going to, if you're the examiner of some of these and you're playing a specific role, you're not going to see the evidence being moved from place to place. You have a chain of custody log that you follow, and that's what you have. She's not likely going to experience most of those things, no matter who they are or what case this is. But if you can say, well, you didn't see it, well, yeah. But again, it's not really part of her job either that she would see that. But they're poking holes, without a doubt. They're doing their job. There's other chain of custody questions here as well. Let me find this one. This is talking about the material delivered 6 weeks after the incident. And again, it sounds pretty good on paper. It sounds good into a court, into a jury. It at least sounds questionable. It's not that uncommon that it's going to take that much time to get the evidence from point A to point B to C to D, wherever it needs to go. It really isn't that uncommon here. Let's take a listen, though.
It was delivered on March 14th, 2022.
Okay, so about 6 weeks or so after January 29th, is that accurate?
Sure.
Given that your lab received this evidence on March 14th of 2022, you can't testify to the chain of custody of the clothing or the pieces of plastic prior to March 14th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
And except for the taillight housing that was seized by Maureen Hartnett, except for that, your chain of custody at the lab for the two shirts plus the pieces of plastic in 7-18.18, that began on March 14th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
So between January 29th of 2022 and March 14th of 2022, you do not know what Michael Proctor did or didn't do with the orange t-shirt and gray long sleeve shirt, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
I don't know.
Yeah, and she wouldn't either. That's just kind of how chain of custody works. Sergeant Butnick's testimony also covered his discussions with other key figures in the investigation. He recounted interviewing witnesses at the McCabe residence and finding O'Keefe's clothing at the hospital emergency room, noting traces of vomit on the items, which is kind of can make sense in a concussion, which it appears, you know, he likely had. Throughout the day, the court saw a detailed recounting of the investigation process from the snow-covered morning when the investigation began to the forensic analysis conducted weeks later. Every step was scrutinized. Butnick confirmed the meticulous steps to preserve and analyze evidence, although he admitted certain limitations in his access to the evidence room. So, more questions, certainly, in this case about a lot of things. My biggest one is the vehicle traveling 60 miles and that amount of evidence still sitting there on the tailgate of the vehicle. That just seems a little, I don't know, off. I don't know.
It does seem troubling. I guess the only other thing that I could think of is I know during snow events where I live in Wisconsin, I mean, you know, we have feet of snow every winter, except for this last winter. There will be snow accumulated on, you know, my tail of the car for weeks unless I brush it off.
So did it accumulate there? Was it protected by the snow? And then once it melted off, then it was there? That's the argument I've been making. Or not even an argument, just like here's a plausible possible explanation. I don't know that it is the explanation,
But think about this. If you've got snow, maybe from driving or it accumulating and it's frozen and stuck to the tailgate, and then you bring your car into a heated building and it melts, it looks like it's just sitting there.
It does.
When in fact it was intertwined in the snow and frozen and stuck to the car.
Is that the explanation, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And the fact they have the video of the vehicle being in the investigative shop area, essentially, and it was submitted in reverse, basically, or in a mirrored image, where it appears the vehicle is the opposite angle that it should be. Why they submitted it that way doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you're an idiot or you're trying to make something look not as suspicious as it is. I don't know. There's questions.
I think as somebody sitting in the jury, I think they've, like you said, poked enough holes in this that when they get to that room to deliberate, they're going to go, there's a lot here that doesn't really point to her murdering him. Yeah. Was this involuntary manslaughter? Maybe.
Maybe.
Murder? No.
I don't see anything here that would be enough to open up an investigation against any of these officers for killing John O'Keefe. I could see being enough to look into this and go, some misconduct. And did somebody try and fuck with some evidence here and there? Maybe. I think that could be a possibility, but again, it doesn't point to murder. It points to really dumb and bad behavior on the part of everyone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So many questions in this case. It just keeps getting crazier.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.